seeing it in so many different places. It's crazy. I haven't worn one yet.
I did one time. I think I mentioned it when I had to go to UPS, and only because I was on a time frame, but I was so mad.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My husband was sitting out in the truck, and he had one of those ones that you have to work with, you know, and I put it on. I was so dang mad. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's crazy. So it's getting more and more strict where you are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just got a text from the Meijer store. I don't know if you got those around you. And they said as of the 20th. So it's like the governor put it in a way where he was shaming you. It's like he's not saying you have to, but he does it in a way where everybody will look down on you if you're not going to be part of the part of the solution. And but the stores are doing it, so it doesn't make any difference. You know, they're all doing it.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So I've heard people having success with talking about or sharing that they have a condition. Have you heard about that?
That Amanda Vollmer that you had on there said that you can say you have a medical condition.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just feel like stocking up and just not even going.
Yeah, I know. I know it's crazy because some people say, don't even say it's a medical condition because then you're involving the medical industry and doctors and proof of all this stuff. And some people just say, I have a condition, I can't wear it. And then if it gets really bad, threatening to sue. And it, according to the ADA and the, I forget what the other one was, the ADA and OSHA, it's a $75,000 fine on the first offense and $150,000 fine on the second offense if they won't serve you due to your medical condition because it's, HIPAA, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. So I haven't had to, you know, go that far yet. I just kind of walk in and, someone I listened to said they came back and they said, well, we as a store, we'll get fined $1,000 a person if you don't wear a mask. And then the person said, all right, well, here's my card and I will pay that fine. So if you do get fined, let me know and I will pay it. And then they just walked off and, you know, everything was fine. So, it's getting crazy out there, isn't it?
Well, I was listening to that Dale Bigtree. He had that one doctor on that Kaufman. I think you said you can't get him. He's too busy.
No, he's going to be on in a couple weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But anyways, they showed pictures of clothes in the store for little kids that had matching masks on with them.
Wait a
second. Like a shirt. In the department stores.
Oh, so what is it? It's like an
advertising? It's like a little kid's t-shirt, but it has a matching mask with it.
Oh my gosh. So it's sold as like a package deal?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. That Dale Bigtree was showing the pictures of it. And he said, this is child abuse. Right here is the child abuse. And I agree.
Well, it's so crazy because you look at the CO2 levels, they're supposed to be around 800 or so, and they go up to like sometimes close to 10,000 parts per million.
Oh my gosh.
Inside the mask, and then oxygen level is supposed to be around 21 or 22, and it goes, warnings go off. I don't know if you saw these videos, but warnings go off at 17, and these things go down to like 16 or 15.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's...
I saw an elderly gentleman the other day, and... He had the mask on outside. The poor guy could hardly walk. I told my husband, I said, he's going to go down. But he made it to his car.
Oh, my gosh.
They have him so scared.
Yeah, it's so sad to see. And it's dividing the country so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you
the thing that I've noticed? It's like this smooth transition from Corona to Black Lives Matter to... Now Wayfair, and now that lady Giselle, or whatever her name is, with Epstein, and it's like this real smooth transition. Mm-hmm. Like it's all been planned out, and it's just what's it going to be next? Is she's probably going to be murdered or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah, apparently her trial is set for a year.
Oh God!
It's July 13th, 2021.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, why do they need a year? Do they need a year to do all the research and to start nabbing some of these people, or what's the year for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't hear much.
I didn't know it was going to take that long. That's too bad.
Yeah. So now we have to make sure that she doesn't die, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Well, you know, something's going to happen. Something along the line, you know. I just can't see where she's going to make it till then.
No. Now, did you see Trump's, speech the other day? He was talking about how he's going to start revealing some major things that are very exciting in the next 8 weeks. Did you see that?
Really? No, yeah. I did not see that.
He said,
what's your take on him?
Starting Tuesday. I sort of follow loosely a lot of the stuff about him and the QAnon movement and stuff, and I'm fully aware of all that. And my hope is that all of that is true. And I don't know. I think that he's obviously doing some things that are a major disruption. You know, he's going to be doing something with healthcare and pharmaceuticals, he said, in the next 8 weeks. I mean, that stuff is major because, right. I mean, I think the pharmaceutical industry is like over 10 times the size of the oil industry. And so you don't mess with that if you're someone who is not rogue like I think he might be. But then on the same time, he's doing things that are just down party lines, you know? So,
yeah. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine. I've been friends with her for a long time last week.
Uh-huh.
And she, anybody around here, when I bring up chemtrails and 5G and all that, they don't believe me. And she brought it up to me. And I go, are you kidding me? I go, you know about that? And she goes, yeah. And I said, this is like a breath of fresh air. So we were talking all night. And I told her, my wish is that Trump's our savior. That's my wish.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he's keeping his enemies close. And I think maybe his hands are tied somewhat. Because he's surrounded by evil.
Oh, yeah.
And that's my hope. I hope he's not in on it. I've heard other people's theories saying he's in on it. You know,
yeah,
that
heard,
he's
I've
just kind of their head. Yeah. I hope it's not true.
I know. If it is, it's really going to be disappointing. I hope it's not true either. You know, because as he's talking about, you know, vaccines, you know, being rolled out and, you know, and it's hard because at some point, I think we all have to be responsible for our own lives and creating the life that we want, right? Mm-hmm. And there are certain people like, you know, these people where they're hardcore Democrats or they're hardcore Republicans. And no matter what evidence you give them, they will always justify whatever it is of the person that they're, you know, following, right?
Right.
And it's like, I just don't want to do that. Because like Trump was talking about vaccines and people will say, well, he's just doing that because he needs to do that to get reelected. You know what I mean? Or he was wearing a mask the other day. And some people say he was trolling the media because people say he said that masks weren't effective and he wasn't going to wear them. And so the media jumped all over him for that. But now he's wearing a mask and now the media is going to jump all over him for not wearing it soon enough or quick enough or whatever.
Oh.
So people are saying he's doing that to bring this kind of stuff up during the debates that you can't trust the media because they're flip-flopping. I mean, maybe that's true, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, I hope to God that all the stuff that you and I have been researching is true about him, you know?
Yeah, I hope. I just, when he talked about cleaning the swamp, you know, I don't know if that was his little code words for saying, I'm going to get these guys and the movie stars that they say are involved in, you know, everything. And it's getting really weird with, it's getting really weird with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of wonder what's going on there. And Ellen, you say she, you know, I heard she's in on stuff and I hope they bring them down if it's true.
You know, what's funny. I was telling Kate the other day that like, you know, it doesn't really matter what people's position on God is, but you know, I'm a Christian and I feel like, I just feel like at some point evil, whether there's a God or not, or Christianity is true or not, whatever the case is, at some point evil cannot last forever. And at some point in human history, if all this stuff is true that you and I have been sort of researching about the children and all this trafficking stuff, if all of that really is true, at some point in human history, whether it's now or 500 years from now, it's going to get exposed, right? At some point, it can't last forever. So if that's the case, then why not now, you know?
Yeah. I hope maybe this is a really exciting time to be alive, you know? Maybe there's just going to be such a change. And I do think people are more aware of how corrupt things are, and that's good. We're going to get somebody else on.
Oh,
hello there.
How's it going? Oh, wait, she's connecting to audio.
Oh, okay.
So she can see, but. Hey, Denise, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. This is, I think, our first time connecting on Zoom.
It is.
Yeah. Have you met Beck yet in the forums, or have you seen her before?
No, I haven't. I actually just started getting into Dr. Bergman, and I've been in the, I guess, the knowledge room where I'm just learning about anatomy and all that other stuff. So that's the first time I'm doing. I have off on Fridays now, so I'll be able to join in.
Oh, that's so cool. Right. That's so cool. So did you find the Academy through Dr. Bergman?
I did. I've been following him on YouTube for quite some time. And then I guess I was sent an email or I learned about the Academy somehow through YouTube. So I joined it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm trying to resolve my health issues.
Sorry, what's that?
I'm trying to resolve my health issues. It's a slow process, but I'm getting there.
Oh, good. What was I going to ask you? Oh, whereabouts are you located?
I'm originally from New Jersey, but we recently moved down to Florida.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm a few hours ahead of you right now.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And some good weather. It's probably really hot and humid right now, right?
Yeah, it's in the 90s and it's been humid for the last few days.
Okay.
So and how is it by you guys there?
Yeah, I'm in Southern California, about a half hour south of Bergman, and weather is great. It's pretty nice, pretty good, and not too hot, not too humid, so it's nice, beautiful summer.
Yeah.
And Beck is in Michigan, right?
Ohio.
Ohio, my bad. Ohio.
All right.
We're in the 90s now, too. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
It's I was checking on my weather app, and I have a couple of nephews and a niece in Florida. And so in Dunedin and the other one's over by Daytona Beach, Port Orange. And we're hotter than them officially right now.
Oh, my God. Wow. I'm in more in Central Florida. We kind of came to Central Florida because we didn't know whether we wanted to go to the East Coast or the West Coast. So we've been exploring mostly, I think the West Coast looks like we're probably may officially move there eventually. So West Coast is nicer, I think. I like it there more.
West Coast of Florida, right?
Yes. Yeah. West Coast of Florida, like Fort Myers area, that area there. So
okay.
I have a really good friend that goes there for the summers. They have a little house, and it's kind of a gated community, but it's not really gated, but it is sort of that way.
Okay.
Real nice. Yeah, that's a nice area.
Yeah, it's very nice. We love it. I don't miss New Jersey at all.
No?
Oh.
Not at all.
Why is it too restrictive, or why don't you miss it?
New Jersey has gotten extremely densely populated. I mean, it's almost kind of like California now, where you have traffic all over the place. To go 10 minutes is going to take you an hour. Mm-hmm. So, and the real estate property taxes are out of control, so we didn't want his retirement money going to pay those exorbitant property taxes. So we said, let's go down to Florida. I mean, it's a tax friendly state. I'm into finance.
Okay.
And I'm a financial advisor. So we're like, let's go to Florida, one of those tax friendly places. And I'll tell you, it's a much big difference not seeing all that money come out of your check.
Yeah, my goodness. Big difference.
It's also working, so I love it.
So as a financial advisor, I'm curious what your thoughts are about everything that's going on right now with the coronavirus and people's in the stock market and the 401ks and people saving. What are you seeing on your end with people, with your clients?
Well, we're seeing on our end, I'm not a financial advisor any longer. However, I still follow the market.
Okay.
And what the people in the industry are saying is put your money in, start becoming more conservative. Let's put it that way. Because everything, this right now is not sustainable. This is a bubble. So, which is going to probably implode or explode eventually. And so you just have to be really careful about what you're investing in. I mean, these companies like Zoom and Spotify and Wayfair, there's no these companies are overvalued now. So eventually this stuff is going to have to come to a halt. Additionally, the $600 additional unemployment that people are getting, that's going to come to an end. People's mortgages were postponed. That's going to be coming to an end. My girlfriend now, actually in New Jersey, she's a mediator for the court system. They have her on a board where with 11 judges that are going to be speaking to landlords and tenants, because landlords now want to start evicting. So you're going to have homelessness. So they have to come to a happy medium now. How are these tenants going to pay their rents? So there's a lot of stuff that's going to be, you know, coming to fruition, and we're going to have to deal with that. So you just have to be careful of how your investments are positioned. And as long as you have some good companies that are paying dividends, you're probably always going to be okay. But I mean, you just have to be careful and start positioning more into a conservative portfolio if you're not already.
Yeah, I've read headlines where there's, for this stimulus package that was put out a couple months ago or a month or so ago from Donald Trump, it's been like $3.7 trillion now, new money introduced into the financial landscape, which is diluting the buying power of the dollar. So that's a problem as well.
Oh yeah, that's going to all hit us.
Yeah.
So Denise, what's your take on investing in gold and silver? You think that's a good thing to do?
Well, if our money is worthless, however, I do have a friend who he's a financial advisor as well. He said, if the banking system collapses, make sure you have guns and gold. So, that's his take on it. We do own some, gold and silver. It's not a bad thing. You use it as a backup. What are you going to do though when our dollar is down to zero? Are you going to go somewhere and going to chip off some pieces of gold? How is that whole thing really going to happen? I don't know. I mean, we have some as a backup. I know plenty of people who do.
So you have the bullion then, the bars?
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't have the numismatic coins or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could get the coins too. I mean, there's some pretty decent companies that have the coins as well. So
yeah. It's such a unbelievably crazy time, isn't it, for all of us? Okay. This is like something we've never
saw anything like this before. It's a little scary, with all these riots and everything that are going on. I don't know if you read behind the scenes. Well, you guys probably read behind the scenes. You analyze everything, so you see what's going on, really.
Yeah, actual truth versus what they're.
A little scary, yeah. I hear Dirk de Bergman making comments occasionally here and there. So, got a lot of smart people.
Yeah, I know. I think most people, or a lot of people that I'm around, know that there's much more going on with this whole coronavirus thing than we're being told. A lot of people think they have it figured out. Some people just don't know. Some people are just
right.
They know something is going on, but it just seems to me like walking around and interacting with the public around my area, I probably see maybe 10, 20% of people wearing masks, and no one seems to be social distancing. No one seems to be caring. Mm-hmm. But when you go to a store, you see that. So it's like, it seems like most people don't think this is the real pandemic that we're being told it is,
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're getting both different thoughts here. In Florida, where it's more lax. If I had to wear a mask when I'm outside, I die, because it's like 98 degrees here. So it's very difficult to do that. But yet my friend who lives in New York, they're jogging in New York with masks on. They're in the gym with masks on. I'm like, how can you do that? So I don't know. Only when we go into like supermarkets, we wear masks. So
yeah,
that's same with me. And I don't. I mean, I only wore one once to a UPS store, but they're mandating it as of the 20th, which is pretty soon. What's today? The 18th, 17th. Yeah.
Right.
So for those of you that haven't worn,
same here, they're mandatorying it here too. And I try to do not wear it when I go to shop. But unfortunately, they don't even let me to go shopping without it. So I'm trying to avoid my mask as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
But people are going nuts. People are going crazy. It's
This is the question I wanted to ask you guys. I wanted to ask you if you guys are seeing this animosity between in like stores that you go to, if you don't wear a mask, do people look at you weird or is there an animosity starting to brew?
Yeah.
Not here in Florida. No, not in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. People are so, in my opinion, it depends how educated the people around you is.
Uh-huh,
like,
right.
Unfortunately, like in Puerto Rico, we don't have that. Like, they are a lot of educated people, but the one that they are not, like, they are following the government blindly, like, no question asked, like, with the curfew, with all of this stuff that they are doing. For God's sake, the governor of Puerto Rico announced from the 15th, everyone that is coming to the airport of Puerto Rico, they need to come with a COVID test in their hand. Otherwise, they are not welcome.
Oh my God.
Are you serious? So people
will
come?
Yes, I'm serious. Like, they wanna, I don't know how this economy is going to even survive. They are literally telling everyone that without the freaking test, you cannot come to Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Wow, I haven't heard that.
My mom supposed to come, and she changed her flight because she doesn't have a test.
Wait, say that again?
My mom's supposed to come, actually. She's supposed to arrive today, but she changed her flight to the 20th, so she had time to at least get a test so she can get that test in the airport.
So what happens if she arrives and doesn't have the paperwork?
So if you don't have the paperwork, you are on a quarantine section until they get you the test. You have to take the test.
Unbelievable.
If you're taking the test, you are not welcome. You need to go back.
Oh, my.
Wow. I haven't heard that on the news.
That's bad. That's worse than the U.S.
Yes. I mean, they are, I'm feeling it that they are using this place as a test subject. Exactly, they are trying to see how people are reacting to the future. I mean, I promise you guys, the second wave that we are talking about, the third wave, whatever you guys want to call it, it's on the way, which is stupid. But all of this money stuff that you just mentioned, like, I'm a Forex trader, so I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yeah.
My whole background is with money and with financial industries. Everything that is happening right now, everything is just because of this freaking money.
Uh-huh.
And what is happening is deleveraging dollar. That's what is literally happening.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so.
We all see it.
You mentioned gold and other, like precious metal. I mean, those are good options, but at some point, I think, the best option is going to be having our guns, like, to be honest, on to that point. Like, the reason I want to be in Puerto Rico, at least, it's I have the climate that I can grow my own food. I have the climate that do a couple of stuff on my own and then just protect myself to get this, like, what is happening is devaluing in the dollar and giving that value to a lot of other currencies around the world.
Oh yeah, we all can see it. Hey, Rob, what are you seeing in your area? I haven't seen you for a little while, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's been a couple months.
Yeah,
yeah. I got the email. That's why I got the email today. It was a reminder. So I was like,
cool.
But there wasn't a direct link to the Zoom link on the email. I just said passwords get healthy.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Yeah. So I had to dig around the forum because I'm not on the forum. I don't log in that often, so I had to dig around to figure out where the Zoom link was.
Okay. Cool.
But I found it. But anyway, I live in Chicago, but I've been in Atlanta because I have families here during this whole quarantine period.
Uh huh.
And thankfully, you know, Atlanta being a red state, they're not putting up a lot of this liberal BS. So
the governor of Georgia.
Yeah,
took away the mask requirement.
Yeah,
he's
suing our crazy mayor here, Keisha Lance Bottoms, because she wants to make it mandatory. Everyone in Atlanta has to wear a mask anywhere you go.
Oh,
and so Brian Kemp, the governor, who's a Republican, she's a Democrat, he's suing her. He's like, no. He's like, yeah, you should suggest it to wear it, but you don't have to make it mandatory.
Wow.
And so they're having a little tug of war. So in any way, Atlanta's, it's okay. I mean, I went to a story yesterday, and you know, the staff was wearing masks, but no one said anything to me. I walked in without a mask. So, but I'm heading back to Chicago tomorrow to finally get back to work and stuff like that. And that's not going to be fun. Yeah. With our Mayor Beetlejuice there and our crazy governor.
The whole thing they done so far was unconstitutional. Like, we have to sue them all.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Serious.
Yeah, it's not good. It's definitely not good.
No, we have to start fighting back, and I just don't know what to do. You know, it's they're such a big organization. Supposedly, that organization, the whole BLM, which has turned like radical, they have billions of dollars in their coffer now, and people who are not in this whole radical movement, they have zero. So, you know, what eventually is going to happen? Who's going to win? It's becoming like a civil war, which is a little scary. So,
that's why we need our police. Don't defund it.
I know.
Right? That's the worst thing. I think Seattle's already done that by 50%, right?
That's the most stupidest thing that anyone, like, even I can think about it. Like, when I'm even hearing about this type of stuff, it's like, guys, you never read history in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In your life, you don't have any idea what history even is.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
seriously, because it's so many times we repeated the same thing so many times. I mean, how clueless, how blind we need to be to be like that, like this. I mean,
yeah.
I don't get it, to be honest.
No. No. Well, where we are here, we're a red state also down in Florida. We had some riots at the beginning where we were coming home from somewhere and we almost got into the middle of it, but we turned off the highway and you know, zigzagged through some roads, but 19 cars were damaged. And we have a very powerful sheriff where we are in Florida who has come out on the radio and TV, and he warned any kind of radical protesters, if they do this again, he said, our citizens here are armed and we're allowed to carry. And he gave permission to the citizens to, if they feel threatened, to shoot. So this is the way it is here.
Oh, that is so cool.
I wish it was here everywhere.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so that's a little crazy. So we haven't had any other incidents after that. It's been quiet.
What are the gun laws there in Florida?
You can own as many weapons as you want. You can conceal and you can carry. Mm-hmm. So we're actually going for our conceal and carry. We already went through the class. And,
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. So it's September because everything is shut down. You know, the government offices are shut down, so we have to go to a different place in order to get our certificate and all this other stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what I understand is, like, obviously one of the bigger issues here is the mask. There's science saying both. You know, like, there's science proving that the masks do work and it helps flatten the curve. And then obviously there's a lot of science that we look at saying masks really don't work. I mean, they're kind of useless. And unless you have an N95, no one is wearing N95. Even that, some people are questioning that's not very effective. There's been studies showing that it doesn't help prevent the spread of influenza virus. So how's it going to help spread
the spread
of the coronavirus? So,
my brother
it's sad that science can't even agree on like whether masks work or not.
Yeah.
Causing so much controversy.
Well, I can make that easy for you guys. My brother had a birthday a couple of days ago, and we asked her to wear his mask and blow all of his candle while he was wearing the mask. Guess what happened?
Wait, say that again, Ram.
So my brother had a birthday 2 days ago, and when he was blowing the birthday candle, we asked him to wear the mask.
Oh, the birthday candle.
And he blew the birthday candle while he was wearing the mask. And guess what happened? Like, all of the candle went out. So now my question is, what's the point of having the mask?
Right.
That's so funny.
Like, don't make it hard for you guys. I don't need science to tell me that if I don't wear an N95 mask, which I can't even find it because it's out of stock most of the places, with this just this regular stupid mask is not going to do anything for us.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's
it's not.
My whole point. And the governor, the government is trying to like push it that no, the mask is going to do good. But I understand if everyone's wearing an N95 mask, maybe. But that's not the reality. We don't have that many N95 masks even available.
No, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you know, to me, I think what it boils down to is this whole, it's like a control thing, and it's like they want more civil unrest, they want more division, and this is just one more thing, I mean, on top of the Black Lives Matter thing, and this is just one more thing of dividing people up, and, you know, and dividing.
Guys, I want to talk to you guys just for one second about, like, this is a new idea that, like, some people have, and I just want to bring it up to you guys. One thing that you said that what we can do to, like, protect each other, well, I don't know if how much you guys know about cryptos and cryptocurrency, but, like, one thing that is with cryptocurrency is happening because crypto is a decentralized contract, basically. The government doesn't have full control over it.
Right.
I'm going to give you an example. Right now, I'm involved with this cryptocurrency, like, pyramid system that is called Forsage. And it's making pretty good money because the way that it works, everyone is covering each other. Like, the system is going to cycle over and over and over again. So SEC decided to shut this company down.
Oh,
and like they went head to head with this company, and this is the first company that I can proudly say that SEC tried his best to shut them down, and they could not.
Wow!
So they are still active. They are up there, and they are getting member. And I mean, this is what I think. Well, one part of our future is gonna be, because so far we trusted centralized information.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of that company?
It's called Forsage. I put a link in the chat in a bit.
Because I own Bitcoin, but you know, I haven't done anything with it. I really don't know how to do anything with it. It's just sitting there. I think it's up to 9,200 a coin now. But,
yeah, I mean, exactly. Like Bitcoin, Ethereum, all of these are different cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
Like, you need to educate yourself on the crypto as well. You need to keep in mind that cryptocurrency is exactly like how the .com bust and boom was.
Right.
Like, million of websites came and a lot of them crashed, and some of them, which was the best, survived. That doesn't mean that Bitcoin is going to be that person or whatever. Like, we need to do our research. But so far, crypto, the way that is pushing forward, it's phenomenal. Like, they can help us a lot. They can help us with lending problem that we have. It can help human to get rid of the central banking system and all of the greeting system that we have. So that's another way that I'm thinking about crypto. So that's why I'm just bringing it up, that if you guys didn't have some research about it, just start doing a little bit of research about a couple of these projects. So it's going to be a good idea to know that one time that if I need to change all, like, not some of my money that I have, like mine, 1/10 of my net worth right now is in crypto. I feel good about it.
A big percentage of it is?
1/10 is not a big percentage. 1/10 of it. But it's not a big percent of it, but it's still, because I'm keep educating myself, I'm still trying to understand it better and better and better.
Right.
And while I'm pushing forward, I'm gonna get more into it while I'm more comfortable. I mean, that's another thing with investment and with money. I mean, once you know what you are doing with it, I mean, once you understand it, it's much, much easier to push forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was my, like, my 2 cents about crypto. And the way that I really liked this, it was because actually it done one of the pressure test and SEC couldn't shut it down. So that was very good for me. So I just want to mention it to you guys. And I'm going to make a copy of the link and I'm going to put it on the chat right now in a little bit.
Excellent. Excellent.
Well, you know what, like to get maybe back on like some health things. So, Justin, I know when I initially joined this whole academy, I sent like a little note about everything that I was experiencing health-wise, and I did take you up on your advice, and I started looking into, you told me to look into magnesium.
Oh, good, good.
So I really started researching a lot about magnesium, and I found a company that, you know, that I'm dealing with right now, and I just started doing it, and so far it's been helping me significantly.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so that's one thing. And also to clean up my liver. So I've been cleaning up my liver along with the magnesium. And, yeah, so I've been experiencing better health from it. So I don't know if I can name products here.
No, please do. This is what this is about. Yeah, so we can all benefit. Sure.
Okay. Let me just get it. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, people don't realize the importance of the liver. Over 500 functions the liver carries out. And, you know, the first thing that I sort of think about when people say, oh, I've got a skin problem or I've got some skin issues, it's always liver to start with, you know. So liver.
Yeah, sure. I don't know if you can see it. Well, it's backwards. It's called REMAG.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's Carolyn Dean.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. So I did a lot of research. I went to a few websites, and it took me about a week to research all of this stuff. Okay. And I'm sorry? Yes, yeah, so I'm following the instructions the way they sent it. And I've been doing it probably for about a week and a half now. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely helping me significantly. I mean, I still have...
I've got the number that we need.
I still have skin issues. But I'm hoping that that's eventually going to go away, you know, once I finish whatever, you know, whatever I'm supposed to be doing with this. You have to drink 4 glasses of water a day. You have to dilute this. You have to start out small and eventually work your way up to 4 teaspoons on a daily basis and then back yourself off.
Yeah.
So I'm not up to, just getting up to a teaspoon now. So... And so far, so good.
That's what are you taking it for?
Oh, I had years ago, I was misdiagnosed probably for about 6 or 7 years with all these different, I had lung surgery and it all turned out to be a big farce. And my body, I was on so much medication. My body is out of balance. I had inflamed lungs. My heartbeat was erratic, all because I was being misdiagnosed. So what it turned out that I had a, because I like to travel, I had a parasite living in my lung. And what this parasite, it was a hookworm, and so what this parasite did is it would lay eggs, and it would make you cough. So I was coughing constantly, so I'd cough up the eggs, I'd swallow them, and then they'd hatch inside. So I was like a walking skeleton for a long time. These parasites, these worms were... sucking all the nutrients out of my body. All the muscles in my body were cramping. I was actually dying. And everybody kept saying, there's nothing wrong with you. Just take an inhaler. Just take prednisone. Just take this and that. My hair was falling out. It was bad. So I finally went to an ultra wellness center in Massachusetts. And it cost me a lot of money out of pocket because I didn't take health care. And they found the parasite. I took a pill for 3 days. The parasite was eradicated, but now my whole body has been off balance for like the last 5 years. So, you know, it's been a struggle to try to get it back in balance. So I became a vegan for 2 years. I tried to clean my body. Nothing seemed to work. So with all my analysis, now a lot of this brought me to Dr. Bergman. Mm-hmm. I also started getting into meditation. So my life has totally changed. So with all the people that I follow, you know, it led me now to this, to the magnesium, which so far, this is like the only thing, this and meditation are the only thing that's really helping me. And now I'm trying to put some weight back on because I lost a lot of weight. So, you know, I'm trying to do that in a healthy manner, though. I'm not eating junk or, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it is fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. So the parasite, you're confident it's gone now?
Yes, because I've been tested 3 more times.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's gone. But it's funny because I went to one of the well-known hospitals in New Jersey, St. Barnabas, mm-hmm. and that was like I was coughing up blood. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And I asked the female doctor, I said, do you think I have a parasite? I like to travel. And she said, oh, you don't have a parasite. She said, it showed up in your blood work. And I just took her for her word, and she was wrong.
Wow.
And I suffered with it like 2 more years after that. So
yeah, it's crazy the level of detail and the science that goes into these testings, you know, of testing blood, testing urine, testing stool.
No one ever did a stool test on me except when I went to the place in Massachusetts. They did a stool test and that's where they found it.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And the level of detail too, that of the different types of outfits and companies that do the stool testing is even different within themselves, you know, and we've talked to a lot of people on our radio show that coming up with new science all the time of getting finer and finer, more granular in their testing. And it's incredible because like someone like you could be dealing with this and people just get a test and especially a medical doctor thinks, oh, you know, it's, you've got nothing. You're fine, you know?
Right.
But you know you're not, you know?
No, I knew I was sick. I actually updated my will. I updated all my beneficiaries because they said, I'm going to die. And I just, you know, said, that's it, I'm going to die. And fortunately, I went to a barbecue where I met my husband's cousin was there, and she came up to me. She said, why don't you go to this place? And she's the one that told me about this place, the Ultra Wellness Center. And I went. Mark Hyman, who is the director, and he also has written some books. They're the ones that help me. So
wow,
nice,
yeah.
So, what is the magnesium helping you for specifically?
It's actually helping. It actually helps clean out your liver. It actually helps your heart, your whole digestive system. Magnesium is a mineral that we're lacking significantly in our body. And if you look at Dr. Dean's website, you'll get like the whole picture of why we need magnesium, especially people who have AFib or are having problems with their heart. They should really be taking magnesium. So I said, well, let me try it. I've never tried this before since I was on so much medication. I know that I had small intestine bacterial overgrowth. I had a lot of stuff going on. And this seems to be bringing everything together and helping me balance everything. Because without your liver, everything else just starts, you know, going wrong. I mean, I have bad digestive problems. I feel that my heart is not right. My breathing is not right. And slowly everything is coming back into balance. So, and I'm not even on the full dose that I need to take.
That's awesome. Larry is here, and he's following the root cause protocol. And Denise, if you're not familiar with that, we have some interviews with Morley Robbins in the
Academy. Yes, I looked at all his stuff. That's incredible. That's where he led me. I started listening to him, and then I saw the other magnesium, which is more at a cellular level. I said, let me try this first. Mm-hmm. But I know he also promotes eating like liver and, you know, internal organs and everything else. She didn't. So I I'm trying hers first. I don't know if I want to try, you know, I wouldn't even know where to get like liver, and I'd have to go to a farm, I guess, that doesn't use antibiotics or steroids in their meat.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know what they do? There's a really great outfit that we use for when we travel is, Ancestral Supplements, and they offer desiccated in capsule form, beef liver, and they have all the organ meats that you could ever want, like brain and lung.
Okay, yeah, I think I saw that on there too. Okay, maybe yeah. I should try. Maybe I should get the capsule form.
Yeah, so that's an easy way to get it if you're, you know, if you're averse to it. But Larry's on the root cause protocol, and he's following Morley's advice, as am I. But you know, he's doing the lowering of the iron and the increasing of bile duct copper and things, and magnesium as well.
Right.
So, Larry, good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, hi, Dustin. Yeah, I've only got 9 holes in, so I had to. You know, I did get rained out today, so here I am.
Asking about your golf game. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah, you. So I was communicating with you in the forums about donating blood because, Denise, if you're not familiar, are you familiar with the blood donation and the benefits of it?
Right. I read all about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's something I haven't, I used to donate blood all the time, but I haven't done it in a while since I've been sick. Nobody wanted to take my blood. I mean, I don't blame them because right. I was, you know, I was sick and I was on so much medication, but I can probably start donating again. Yeah. I just have to make an appointment and do it.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big, my personal opinion is Morley is probably one of the top five most important people in natural health, you know, today with, I don't think, I've never spoken to anyone on our radio show over 650 shows who understands minerals and how minerals impact biological function more than Morley. Like he's just.
Hey, Justin, could you talk more about giving blood a little bit more? I've never done it in my life.
Sorry, what's that?
Can you talk more blood. About why is like good to even give that blood? Like I never done it in my life. So
oh, to donate blood. Okay, so Larry, you can fill in some gaps too. But my understanding so far in interviewing Morley a number of times is that, and going through his work, is that our blood is the source of a lot of the iron in our body. And iron, we've been sort of poisoned since 1941. And in 1969, and I think in subsequent years with the iron fortification program, and that essentially is loading iron filings into our food. And when you look at iron's role in the body, you're only supposed to really get like a milligram of iron a day, and you only need 24 milligrams, and 1 milligram should go back to the bone marrow to recycle and to make new red blood cells, right? But what happens is that this iron, the iron recycling system doesn't work right in most of our bodies. So the iron can't get back to the bone marrow and begin that whole cycle again. So what happens is it gets stored in the tissues. And when it gets stored in your tissues, it oxidizes, it combines with estrogen, it combines with it. If you have like parasites, if you have candida, they feed on oxidized iron. Oxidized iron will then store in your arteries. So people blame cholesterol for that. And so it's responsible for just about all diseases, cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, it's excellent. So when you have this iron in your blood that can't get back to the tissue or can't get back to the bone marrow and make that recycling system happen, it gets stored in your tissues and every health condition we have is caused by that. And so that's why you want to get rid of that iron so that the copper can regulate that iron because we have like, Morley describes it as if you were to spread out all the iron in our body, it would be equivalent to like a football field. And the amount of copper that we have to regulate that iron is about 3 pennies worth of copper. And so, and copper has been decreasing by over 80% in our soils in the last 50 years. So we don't have any copper to regulate all that iron and we're still getting all this iron in our bodies and, it's causing, basically what it's doing is it's choking off the cell's ability to respirate oxygen and to utilize oxygen properly. So this is why it's so tied to cancer, to dementia, to Alzheimer's, to heart attacks when it oxidizes in your arteries. And so this iron is a real, like the number one problem along with polyunsaturated fatty acids to get rid of out of your body. And many people who go through the root cause protocol just get rid of iron and they start noticing huge differences without even adding in like the magnesium, what Denise is doing, or the copper. Just removing the iron is one of the best things that you could do. So blood donation is the only way to get rid of iron. Some people have said on our show that you can get through, you know, a little bit through sweating. I haven't seen any research to support that. So this is why blood donation is recommended for men 4 times a year. Premenopausal women twice a year and postmenopausal women 4 times a year, just like men.
Wow. So, what was the protocol name? If I want to do a little bit of research, where I can find more information?
Yeah, just go to Inside the Academy under library. And if you go to Justin Stellman, and then if you go to EHR, which is Extreme Health Radio, that's some of our best of radio shows. And all the shows we've done with Morley are there. And it will change your life if you understand. It's really cool because like there's 90 minerals, right? And there's all these things to remember. And the same with herbs, like there's 1,000 herbs. But when you go through his work, you realize you only have to worry about iron, magnesium, copper, and vitamin A or not really a mineral, it's a retinol from animal fats. And that's four things you really have to remember. And those, because magnesium controls 3,700 enzymes in our body of our 9,000 enzymes. Mm-hmm. So it's, magnesium is absolutely critical. I hear these natural health people saying, magnesium, it's good for 300 things in the body, and it's not true. It's like...
No, actually, we had this conversation about my kidney stone like a month ago or so.
Yeah.
That you recommended for me to start taking magnesium. Mm-hmm. And another problem that I had was like, I had very excess sweating from my hand and feet. And I can through research, since I'm taking my magnesium, it's reduced dramatically.
Like, oh, really?
Wow.
Just by taking that magnesium like every day. And it, actually, I now when you're mentioning it, I remember that I was listening to one of the radio show that you had, and I don't remember the person that you were interviewing, but he was mentioning that because like someone like me that is in front of computer and like my biggest screen TV most time. Uh-huh. So that's one of the reasons that I need to bump up my magnesium, because most time I'm going to be deficient because all of my body is trying to do because of all of this blue light and stuff that it's directed at me is trying to, like, my magnesium is going to be one thing that is going to be deficient all the time because I'm using it like much more than everything.
What
another thing that it happened, it affected my sleep. I can sleep restfully. Like, I can rest much, much better.
Oh, good to hear. That's so good to hear. Yeah. It's
one thing that really, guys, like this type of conversation is start changing my life. It's because now I know what I need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Like seriously, before this, I don't even know how to talk to my doctor.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Now I'm demanding that, hey, I want to get that freaking stool sample. I need to get those. If you are not taking care of it, I want to get it. Because now sometimes I feel that the stuff that I know about my health, like, it's in my on my own hands. And I have much, much more power. So I'm so mm-hmm. grateful for this stuff, like website and for all of you guys. Because, and I'm like... trying to get people to this website daily, like everyone that I'm talking to, guys, you have to check this out.
And
the reason is because I'm feeling like everything that we talk today is a start from us. If we get our health back, if we get our most important thing to us, which is our health back, without having all of this cost and all of this medicine and all of this stuff that is killing us, actually, if we wake up to that fact, then imagine what else we can do, like, together.
I know. I mean, look at you, Denise, like you, like what Rob was just saying about his testing, like, you know, you suffered for 2 years, extra years,
mm-hmm.
you know, didn't know to ask the further question, like, this is
right.
So great. Like, we can now kind of go deeper and ask for things that we don't know about, you know?
Yeah, thank God. You know, more people like Dr. Bergman, the person that I found for meditation, I started getting a lot more answers through the internet. I don't even think I need a doctor anymore, actually.
Yeah.
So unless I break my arm or, you know, need something, I'm like so anti-doctor. And I had to find a gynecologist when I was down here, and it was very difficult. She's telling me, my primary care physician. So I found one. She's kind of like integrative and, you know, but she's really not. So when she's telling me I needed to go, my cholesterol is like one notch above what their number is supposed to be. She wants to put me on cholesterol medication. My thyroid is low. I have hypothyroidism. I said, I know. I said, I'm working on all of that. She said, I'm pre-diabetic. And I said, I'm not worried about any of that stuff. She says, well, I give you 6 more months. So I have to go for another blood test in November. And I said, all right. I said, I'll go. I says, but I said, I'm not going on any medication.
Good for
I said,
you.
I can fix all this stuff eventually on my own.
Yep.
So
that's so great.
They change the number for cholesterol, You know, when I listened to Dr. Dean, she said when she was first in medical school, the high cholesterol number was 245.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were above a 245, then you were considered high cholesterol. Now it's like if you're above 200, and I think I'm a 201 the last time I got tested, and they want to put me on medication. I'm like, come on. But she's not even looking at the breakdown. You know, you need cholesterol. I learned that from Dr. Bergman, you know, so you need the cholesterol.
Yeah.
Isn't half our brain, by half of our brain's cholesterol, right?
Right.
And the problem is when cholesterol oxidizes, not the cholesterol. Dr. Jennifer Daniels, who's been on our show, she recommends a total cholesterol of over 300.
Oh, I used to have that at one time. I brought it all the way down.
The studies are showing that on her side that the higher your cholesterol as you age, the healthier and longer you live. You know?
There you go.
So
I'm not worried about it at all.
This is the
bank name, routing, and account. This is where the money is going to go.
Yeah. Hey, Larry, I'm curious about what your experience so far is doing the minerals and the copper and the more the root cause protocol. Are you still experiencing good benefits?
Oh, tomorrow I'm going to go see. I'm going to take her to her mom.
Sorry.
Who's talking?
Yeah, I finally got a hold of an RCP consultant here in the Houston area.
Oh, great.
So I'm going to be doing the blood testing, you know, to see where, you know, the ceruloplasm and the magnesium and all of the minerals and all of that. And so I went and got my blood work done yesterday, and then I'm going to do what they call a HTM something. It's a hair follicle test. Test the boron and a couple of other minerals out of my hair. And then Morley's got a big spreadsheet that he plugs all these numbers into, and then it does all the calculations to see kind of where you're at. And
so are you doing the full Monty iron panel?
That's it. Yep. I'm going to just gave blood for that yesterday. So I would say that maybe in the next She said the hair test is going to take a while, so
yeah,
I was going to have to grow some hair to give them some hair. So, because they asked for quite a bit of hair, and I said I don't have that much hair to give. But I guess I'll do the best I can. So I may have to harvest it, but
yeah. No, that's really cool. So my biggest question was. My biggest concern right now is the testing of the COVID. And I mentioned, I think, Larry, in the forums about that.
Yes, you did.
And the contact tracing that's happening as a result of testing and stuff like that. And every place that I've looked at, because I used to donate on a regular basis every 2 or 3 months, up until June, I was supposed to donate again. But I haven't yet found a place that will not test for COVID. I don't want to be tested for COVID.
Yeah.
You know, I looked into that here. What they do, Justin, and maybe it's different in California, I'm not sure, but what they're testing here is they're not testing for the COVID-19 bacteria or virus. What they're doing is they're testing to see if you have the antibodies that they can use to fight the COVID stuff, but it's not supposedly a COVID test. It's only a test to see if you have the antibodies.
But the problem is we all know that the testing is showing all these crazy false positives, and they're not even testing for antibodies. They're looking at exosomes, or they're looking at antibodies and exosomes and not for the virus. But what really it's, if they say that you test positive, even though that specific antibody could be linked to 15 other coronaviruses that we all have at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's the case, and there's no way to prove through the testing that I actually have coronavirus. It's sort of like if you get a speeding ticket, your insurance goes up kind of thing. If you're tagged as being positive, having a positive coronavirus test, all that matters is that is sort of tested as positive. And I'm looking at this contact tracing and this WHO guy talking about the ability for CPS to be able to remove you from your children should a parent test positive.
Oh, God.
So, mm-hmm. Like, if I tested positive, I wouldn't care at all because I know it's like it's not even an issue with me. I'm not scared of the coronavirus in any way. Mm-hmm. But if they say I test positive, then I'm sort of a little bit concerned about contact tracing. We have two-year-old boys.
Right.
So you're
saying that if you test for and you have an antibody, that's like having a positive test for COVID?
Yeah, so there's these antibodies that so the COVID antibody is also related to, I think, over 20 other coronaviruses and other bacteria and pathogens. But it's also, so coronavirus would be on the list of those 20 plus causes of this antibody being there. Mm-hmm. But what they're saying is that if you have this antibody, then you have COVID. You tested positive for COVID. And we all know that's not true.
Right.
If they say you test positive, then if they wanted to, they could come in and remove our children or remove us from our children in our house because they're saying that you tested positive, you know. So mm-hmm. that's what I'm not worried about it, but I'm just like, okay, I got to be very strategic about this blood donation because for me, like blocking blue light and non-native EMF and blood donations, those are kind of the top two things I focus on, you know.
Yeah. So you haven't found a phlebotomist in the LA area?
I've searched for traveling phlebotomists in my area. I've searched and gone on to all their websites. I've sent in emails and calls, and every one of them says that they test for COVID.
Really?
Yeah.
Even the mobile people?
Even the mobile people. And I have a neighbor who's a mobile, or she's a phlebotomist, but I haven't asked her yet because I don't know, like, would there be a way to privately do this as a secure sort of private interaction between her and I? She's really cool. But what would she do with the blood? You know, she's got to discard
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
So that's my biggest issue, you know?
Mm. That's definitely worth asking her because I'm sure that a lot of people that give blood can't give blood to other people. I think that there are people that donate blood just because they have too much iron. There's a word for if you have too much iron, then you're able to give blood to reduce the iron content.
Right.
And that blood is not able to be given to anybody else. So it seems to me like if they can dispose of blood, you know, then, you know, that it shouldn't be a problem for her to get rid of it.
Yeah, I just don't know what she would do. Like, would she take it back to her location or would she discard it in some way down the drain kind of a deal? Who knows, you know?
Well, probably not that, but yeah.
It's gross. Well, was it in the forums where somebody said they got tested and they felt like there was something in the roof of their mouth after they got done, like, they said they pressed it for like 10 seconds and she felt like there was something in there.
Oh, really?
For the test.
Yeah. How some people are saying that they're actually, those swabs are contaminated with the coronavirus or whatever.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is scary.
I don't trust anybody anymore.
I don't know because, you know, all the stuff you just sort of read, you know, and there's no way to sort of verify this, but
right.
I've read that and people are saying that, you know, so.
They want to jack up the numbers? Is that what it is?
Yeah, they want to jack up the numbers. Because there's so much money, as we all know, to be made from hospitals.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, I had this gal that, I'm a massage therapist, and she canceled her appointment because she said, I haven't been feeling good. She goes, I'm pretty sure it's my allergies, but now my doctor's going to test me. And I thought, oh, my God. You know, and she'll probably test positive. What's that going to do? You know, is everybody that she's around is going to have to be quarantined then? I mean, I don't know how
Have you guys seen any of the contact tracing videos? I shared a couple on the forum with Larry, just two of them, but there's multiple ones of a lady, I think that's off the internet now, but a lady went through the actual contact tracing system. Yeah, you know how they're trying to recruit these people to be tracers. And when you go through and you look at what their goals are and what they're trying to do, it's really quite disturbing. And so,
wow.
You know, for me with 2-year-old twin boys, it's like, you know, we're not taking our cell phones anywhere we go. I don't even have, you know, cell service on mine. I just use it for the radio show and for Instagram.
Wow.
So, and my wife is leaving it at home and we're turning it off. We're putting it in a different room when we have conversations. I don't know how much of this. We've had a lot of people on our show, like Ken Rolla, who did our EMF workshop. He knows people that work in government and that talk about being spied on from your phone, you know? And so, it's something that I am not worried about, but I'm concerned about, you know, and being around other people. There's software now that's being developed. I shared a video of that in the forum thread for contact tracing. I mean, this is a big business now for software to be sold to the, back to the government for use, you know? So, I think we all just have to be smart in what we're doing, you know? And like we're talking about before, what do we do? You know, like you said, Denise, if everyone did what you did and said, you know what, I'm going to research. And if we all sort of started focusing and putting our money towards organic, towards taking care of ourselves so that we don't have to go to a doctor.
Right.
We all did this. This would cripple this whole industry.
Right. Right.
And we have to do that.
No, I totally agree with you. That's the only way I found answers for myself.
Yeah.
You know, I know, but when I speak to other people, I know other people who are unhealthy, like my sister and one of my coworkers, and I try to tell them, they find it so much easier just to do what they're doing with the medication, and they just don't want to be bothered. And I don't understand that type of personality. They're followers, basically. You call them sheeple. Yeah. And they just go right along with whatever's being preached out there. And it's very frustrating trying to talk to these people. So
it's best to let them go. They're on their own journey. I've tried to.
Right.
And, you know, but they don't do any good.
They're killing themselves, you know. Yeah. It's killing. Yeah.
I have a friend right now that got a knee replacement. And he got infection in it. So they had to take the knee out. Well, they life flighted him a couple of times because we're from a small area with these infections. Well, he got, then they put him on an antibiotic for how long. He had an allergic reaction to that. He broke out in a rash. All of his skin came off his whole body, just strips of it. He got sepsis. They life flighted again. Now he has no knee. He's got rods sticking out of his leg. He's just laying there with no knee for 4 weeks. He can't move except from a hospital bed to a lazy boy thing. And the commode's sitting right there. And we went over to visit him the other day, and his wife is all ready for, she can't wait for the vaccine. She goes, vaccine comes out, we'll be okay. Cause she's worried about it. Every time he's gotten a surgery, which is how many now, they swab him for COVID. He said he gags every time because they go in there real hard. Every time now he has to go back in and they're going to put another knee in. And I said, what happens if that gets infection? And he goes, that's what I'm worried about. They'll probably take his leg off.
Oh my God.
Hi, Jody.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. It's incredible. So Jody, we were just talking about just how important it is, because Denise was talking before about her health journey a little bit. And she was just saying how important it is to sort of be your own doctor, you know, and take control of your health. And I was just sharing, you know, if we all did that, the financial ramifications and implications on the medical industrial complex would be so massive. Like, you know, just, but taking that ownership and responsibility is so, it's so powerful, yet it's so scary for most people, because most people, it was like I was, I didn't know where to start. I didn't know anything, you know, this is the way we get our power back, you know?
I was actually pretty lucky, because when I was in New Jersey and I had one of my clients actually started me on the journey. And there is a very good doctor in New Jersey who is he's a vegan. All four of his boys are vegan. His wife's a vegan. And he started me on the journey to cleaning my body and helping. Now I moved down to Florida. I can't really find too many people like that. But then he started me on the journey of researching. He gave me books to read. He told me websites to go on, and then I just took it from there, you know. So I was lucky. I feel that in your life, everything happens for a reason, and you meet certain people in your life for a reason, and you know, it's all part of the journey.
Yep.
Hey, Justin, I was curious what your opinion is on applied kinesiology. People who do applied kinesiology, because we're talking about doing all these lab tests and checking for iron and magnesium and looking for parasites and all this stuff. Is that really necessary if you see someone who does applied kinesiology?
So you're saying if you go see someone that does that, do you need to do the testing of the minerals and things?
Right. The reason I asked is because I went to go see an applied kinesiology chiropractor in Chicago back in last winter, and it's like November, December.
Uh-huh.
And he was like just doing some muscle testing on me and stuff, and was holding certain supplements and things like that at certain parts of my body, certain, I guess, energy points or meridians. And then he was like, oh, yeah, you have got dysbiosis and candida and like all this stuff. And then I told someone else about it, and they're like, well, did they do any lab work, stool sample or this or that or whatever, and rattling off these different things? I'm like, no. He's like, well, that's bullshit. They can't diagnose that without that stuff. That's nonsense. So I would, Denise was talking about how she had to get all this extra extensive testing and lab work and all this stuff done to finally find that she had a parasite.
Right.
I guess what I'm asking is, you know, do you need to go through all this stuff, or can you just see an AK, somebody who does AK, and they can do that for you?
My sort of take on that, like after doing a lot of it myself and our radio show for so long, is that I think that for me personally, I wouldn't rely on kinesiology myself. It would be part of something, but I think the beauty in it is that it allows us, because all of us have been sort of conditioned throughout our whole life to trust in and put our faith in authorities, whether they're teachers, doctors, whatever the case is, and commercials and media, and talk to your doctor this, talk to your doctor that. And this has been the mantra our whole life. There's experts out there that will deal with it. And what kinesiology, I think, is really great for, even if it doesn't work at all, if the whole thing is a total hoax, what I think is great is that I believe that we all know secretly deep down what's really going on in our bodies at a deep, visceral root level. I believe that we know that, but we sort of cover it up through being busy and thinking about other stuff and being disconnected from how we really feel. And so what kinesiology does, let's say it didn't work, is it reconnects you with that. It reconnects you with your ability to sort of be the master of your own health and to really connect with what's going on. But with that said, I wouldn't rely on it. I might use it as an adjunctive. I think there's some, like I've tested for things that I've read about intellectually, they're really bad for me. I've tested positive. So I don't know in that case, but I would use it as like a 10 or 20% sort of model. And then I would do the testing as well. But the problem with testing too, is that whenever you get testing, the people doing the test might also are selling you the supplements or selling you whatever else, you know? So, I think it's a big lesson in extracting ourselves from this idea of relying on other people and government in institutions telling us what we should do. You know what I mean? And anything that does that, I'm in full support of, because we're just too reliant on teachers, on doctors telling us things. Like the doctor told Denise that she didn't have a parasite. And so she's like, okay, well, you know, why would you go further and look further unless you're really taking health in your own hands like Denise did and started researching, you know? So,
you're your own healer. You know, your body knows how to heal, like Dr. Bergman says. It knows.
It does, yeah.
You have to take matters in your own hands.
And you know what's cool, too, is I think that we're all sort of drawn to something in a certain level in our life for a certain reason. You know what I mean? Like, Larry just got into the root cause protocol. We've had Morley Robbins on the show. We found Dr. Bergman. We found different people. And we sort of attract, I think, people into our lives that are what's necessary in that season for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really important to be open to that. So like, if you just say, like, sometimes I'll say, God, like, just bring people into my life. If I need to learn something, just bring someone into my life that I need to be open and more aware of. And then within a few weeks, I'll be introduced to some new sort of foundation work that I'd never heard of before that takes me down a rabbit trail of continuing to search. And that rabbit trail happens to be the answer for what I'm dealing with, you know? So I think being open to that is super key. You know, I'm sure you guys think the same thing.
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
Anybody,
isn't it something when there's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Has anybody heard of, my sister just told me yesterday, and I didn't get what she's listening to, but it's like a podcast of virology podcast or something that she said is phenomenal.
Oh.
And guy from Harvard got on and was talking about this test that they do have available where it's almost like you can test yourself every morning, you know, for viruses or whatever. And they're like, rather than this vaccine they're talking about, where people could, let's say you have 3 days straight of coming out clear or whatever, you send your kids to school, you do your, you live life normal. They're talking about something like that. And I hadn't heard anything about this.
Mm-mm. Love to know the name of that.
Yeah, well, I'll get it then, because I thought, you know, I'm going to get on and find out what this, in fact, I could even text her and see what it is, because she listens to so many things. I can't keep up with her, you know, but she gets into politics too. So I kind of half listen and half, you know.
Yeah.
But so I said, well, I'll look into it. And I thought, well, I'll throw it out there in case someone had heard of this. It's viridology or virus, that virus, you know, I don't know. I'll ask her again. But it was something about, it's almost like a litmus test or something where you just, you know, suck on something and, you know, you can, or like a pH thing. It kind of sounded like that to me where, you know, it would tell you, because people are so fearful out here. I'm telling you, I just went to lunch with my son and his kids, my daughter-in-law, and it's so fun for us, you know, and I know that, you know, little Lily, she's 3 years old. She comes running up and gives me a hug, you know, and none of us are wearing our masks or anything like that. And I think everybody's looking at us like, you know, who are these people?
Where do you live, Jody?
I live in a suburb of Chicago, Crystal Lake.
Okay.
And once you go get into the restaurant, nobody's got their mask on, but all the tables are far away, and the it's all open air.
Right.
All the wait staff, everybody's got masks on, and I know that, you know, there are, but people waiting outside, if they're waiting outside for a table, will have masks on that are fearful. You know, you just kind of know, you know, it's, I see people on recumbent bikes and stuff with a mask on going through.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Do you guys have the shower curtains between the tables at the restaurants? That's what they're doing here.
Oh God. Oh God.
Thing. I feel like I just want to go up
cheap way.
And start looking at it or something. It just makes me so mad. Like, what is it doing?
We don't eat out a lot, but we do go to this one place we like because you can sit out, like it's in a screened area in case it rained or anything. Uh-huh. But it's fun because I get to be with my, you know, and I was going to go over and hang out with them today. And it's like I live normally, but I'm living normally in a really weird world.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh. And I do feel fortunate because I've always been very healthy. Always. I have never really struggled. And that, so.
Thank God.
You know, but I got on this health thing, you know, really young. I mean, my best friend ran a health food store when I was, you know, in my 20s. And I used to go out. You know, so I think I was doing coffee enemas when it was really strange to do.
Probably.
Oh my God.
And now I'm doing the Dr. Morley Robbins thing because I really, I'm not strict, but I'm doing most of the stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel a difference. It's hard for me to tell because I'm healthy, you know, and I always
right.
But there's something going on with my energy level.
Well, that's part of that whole root cause protocol is the whole thing of it is how does your cells respirate oxygen is number one. And then the other part of the protocol is really how does your body create energy? And when you look at the mitochondria and how it creates energy, when you can create ATP, you've got energy to deal with the stress of the stupid coronavirus. You got energy to deal with the stress of get into the cellular matrix and how the mitochondria makes ATP in a complex five, and you can generate more energy. You're just going to be healthier all around, because really all these effects on health deplete our energy, and then our immune system just doesn't have the energy to deal with like a parasite or a candida or whatever else. And so
I love his adrenal cocktail.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That's awesome. You like it?
I like it. I mean, it doesn't taste great, but you know what I do after I've done my 4.5 mile walk or whatever, I'll put, you know, it's like pretty good when I'm walking, I'll go ahead and drink one of those. And I mean, I notice a difference. I'm going, you know, I think this stuff is good.
You guys ever think, like, this is how I think, because for me, doing these types of things like the adrenal cocktail or like the, like, it's just sort of standard, you know, my wife and I do these things and we'll do our red light therapy or we'll do our sauna and we're kind of, you know, we'll make food in a certain way. Our lights will be red at night. But it's so normal for us. It's just like, this is kind of how we live. But I often think, like, if someone came into our house that was had no idea of any of this thing, you forget how bizarre it is. It's so funny. You guys probably feel like that too, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, you just feel like, oh my gosh, if someone, like you totally forget how bizarre you're becoming, you know?
I don't have the red lights going in the house, but our house is dark. I mean, yeah. We have a lot of lights going out. So.
That's so funny. Yeah, you realize, like, just being over, I was over at my parents' house the other night, and the lighting was so different than the way we do it. And it's just like, it almost becomes like you get so healthy that if you eat at McDonald's, you sort of feel it right away. It's like a visceral change in your gut when you eat it.
Yeah.
It's like that with lighting. It's like, it was so overwhelming to be under all these bright lights at, you know, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I can't stand them. I just can't stand them. I just, ugh.
Oh, I know.
Bothers me.
I have a question. Maybe we're going a little off topic, but not really. I've been reading the vaccination that's coming out for the coronavirus is going to be like a mandatory thing. Is there anything? I know I'm following Robert F. Kennedy on a lot of this stuff, what he's doing with vaccinations. Is there anything that's in the works that is going to stop this? Because I'm not getting any of these vaccines.
Yeah. Let me share a link in the chat room. We interviewed the gentleman that is behind this Empower Movement organization. I'm going to put a link to the chat room. He was on our show a while back.
Okay.
But yeah, so the thing from what I've done research in contract law and closely following a lot of things, the UCC codes, you know, that all countries adhere to, it's getting to a point where we're going to have to start learning that stuff if we really want to stand up for our rights, you know, because, like, for example, the mask thing, like, it really is against OSHA guidelines, you know, and has a $75,000 penalty on the first offense and $150,000 on the second offense if they won't serve you due to a medical condition, you know. But if you don't know that kind of stuff, then you can't really say that and know your rights. And so I think what it's coming down to, you guys probably all think the same way, is that they're going to start tying it to flying and driving and things.
Right.
Like
that. Yep.
So that's my concern too, because I love traveling and, you know, I love traveling. And so it's either going to come to a point where we either don't travel or we know our rights and learn about that. And that's a whole separate rabbit trail when you get into that. That whole world is, I don't think there's a person on earth who fully understands.
Charlene Bollinger, Ty Bollinger's wife, has started up what they have called a United Medical Freedom Super PAC.
Yes, I read about that.
So they, you know, they're doing a lot of stuff, a lot of interviews. You know, they did Mike Adams the other day, who's AKA the health ranger. And then they do a lot of stuff with Judy and Mikovits. And
what's that? The United what?
United Medical Freedom Super PAC.
Yeah, I donated to them the other day.
Oh, cool. Super PAC. Okay, let's see. Is that a website? Okay, there we go.
Yes.
Hey, what did I just miss?
Oh, Larry shared, because Denise was asking about just like, what can we do with this vaccine that they're trying to make mandatory on people? And Larry was just sharing, I didn't know about this. This is what's so cool about this. MedicalFreedomPact.com.
Yep.
PAC. This is Ty and, okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. This is great.
MedicalFreedomPact.com.
Bye, Rob.
It might be UnitedMedicalFreedomPact.com. Okay. Super PAC.
I just got it in the chat room. So that's
okay. Yeah.
Justin. I already become a member. Thank you.
What's that?
I said, I already become a member. Thank you.
That was quick.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing is sort of trying to figure out. So like my passport has expired, you know, for travel, my visa. So I need to update that. And the question I'm having with my wife is, you know, are they going to grandfather that in and allow me to travel for 10 more years? Or I can say, you know what? In 3 months, they require a vaccine to fly. You know, in 4 months, are they going to say, well, that visa you have is expired. You need to get a new visa. So I don't know. Are you guys seeing anything? Is this Medical Freedom Pack? Do you think this is a good resource?
I'm hoping it is. I just found that last week. You know, I became a member and I donated some money. So I want to, see what happens.
They've certainly got some heavyweights behind it, you know.
They do. They have Kennedy is there, you know. Yeah. So,
and Del Bigtree. And,
right, Del Bigtree is there.
Pennywise, Mikovits.
Right, Mikovits. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Mike Adams. You know, there's a lot of heavyweights in it.
They're fighting.
So what are they proposing? Are they offering maybe something? Oh, they got Sheriff Mack. He's amazing. So the other thing is, do you guys know about your local county sheriffs and the power of that?
No.
Okay, so Sheriff Mack is sort of involved in this, his own sort of same organization where he's putting together something for sheriffs. And so according to what he says, is that your local county sheriff has 100% jurisdiction over anything that could be mandated upon you physically. So, like, if, let's say, for example, the head of the WHO wants to come and take my children, or the head of the WHO wants to come door-to-door and start vaccinating, the local county sheriff has the ability to override that, which I never heard about until maybe
I didn't know that
6 months ago. And Sheriff Mack is who I learned that from, and he's involved in this Medical Freedom Pact that Ty is doing. So I was glad to see his name there, but I forgot all about that. So what people are now doing is sending letters into their local county sheriff and or maybe an interview of some kind or something like that and sending it to him and saying, hey, listen to this, and I want to know if you have my freedom, if you have my back, if I need to rely on you in the future for anything, listen to this, and I'm going to come and talk to you. And a lot of people are starting to do this now and trying to empower their local county sheriff, because from what Sheriff Mack was saying is that most sheriffs don't even understand that they have that power. They just don't know it. And it's written into the bylaws and the Constitution, all the stuff that the local county sheriff has jurisdiction. So that's another avenue to start pursuing is look up Sheriff Mack and learn a little bit about that, which is what I have to do too. It's trying to keep two little boys alive and, you know, everything else I have going on. But that's been on my list for a while to do that. So it could be something big, you know?
All right. That's good to know.
You don't suppose they, you know, by registering that gives them, you know, these are all the people that are, you know, sometimes I worry about being known as
you mean registering to vote?
An instigator?
You know, kind of like that, you know, oh, this person definitely didn't get a vaccine.
Oh.
Because, you know, I tried to go under the radar. I've got a doctor that will, you know, literally say that he gave me a vaccine.
Do you know, like, what did you mean by registering for what?
The Medical Freedom Pact. I was just going to register, and I went, I wonder.
You know what I worry about, too, is even voting. I wonder if they're tagging people that vote for certain parties, if they're sort of...
I know. Are we getting carried away, or are we...
I don't know.
Your name's going to be out there regardless. I mean, you have to get a driver's license and all this stuff. So I have a feeling it's going to be required that you're probably going to have a sticker or something put maybe on your passport or your driver's license saying that you tested negative for coronavirus or you don't have it or you got the vaccine or whatever. So
I'm a member of the Extreme Health Academy, and that'll probably
or if Bill Gates has his way, I think we're going to get microchips, you know, implanted under our skin or whatever he proposes there. So who knows?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm supposed to give blood next week, and I know you've been talking a lot about that.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to do that here. Now, I don't see where they do any contact tracing from when our blood, where we give blood. I mean, you were worried about that, right?
Yeah. So I shared a few videos in the forums about that. And so the problem is that all the places I found will test for COVID. So Larry, I'm still trying to find a phlebotomist or something, you know. But I suspect, though, that, like, as we keep searching for things, we find things, you know, as long as we're persistent, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I'm doing the same. I mean, there's a couple of organizations that are, you know, mobile phlebotomists, or you can go into their clinic, but I haven't contacted them about the COVID thing. So.
Yeah. So it's something to consider, you know, it's like one of those things where we are all perceived as being sort of conspiracy theorists or whatever the labels are that people give to us. And everyone has their different levels of what they think might happen or what's really going on. But the problem is that the more this happens, the more you start realizing things like this contact tracing. And, you know, we live in a balance where, like, how much effort do you put into looking further into that and sort of worrying fear? Because, like Larry knows, with the iron, it activates the fear center of the cell. Like, it activates fear and anxiety is excess iron, you know? And so, like, how fearful do we become over something like contact tracing versus, like, let's take our power back? And so that's the balance I'm working on in my life, is to stand in that power, but also not bury my head in the sand either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a delicate, there are times when I get really fearful, you know, and then times when I say, you know what, this is the greatest time in human civilization for us to be alive. There's a reason why we're here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad you think so.
Definitely.
No, I mean, I believe that for sure as well. I mean, I think with all of this stuff that is going on, there is so much opportunity that is coming up, and there is, like, the transfer of wealth that it never happened before. We had some transfer of wealth before, but this is that one time that it never was like this before, so there is a lot of opportunity.
Yeah,
we need to be optimistic about what is happening. If we want to, if we think any other way, I don't think we're gonna make it. To be honest.
Yeah.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're here for a reason, obviously, right? And this is the most challenging time in all of our lives, and we're all different ages. And so, if we're here for a reason, then we better stand into our power and start stepping into that. You know.
And I really think that such, like, this type of group, it's crucial for us, especially at this type of time, because a lot of people, even, it doesn't matter if I research a little bit and now I know what's going on with the COVID, but if I have no idea that what I need to do to protect myself, that's the piece that we need to get out more. I mean, even today with our conversation, it was, quite frankly, it was something that obviously we need to work on it a little bit more and better. And I'm looking forward to our next conversation about this, that what really we can do to protect ourselves. And those type of conversation, I really think, is going to get our community and people around us safe and safe. Like, we need to learn what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the media is not here to teach us. We are here on our own. And this type of group is perfect environment to get together, to discuss this type of idea, to get like to even find about this type of website that we saw it, do our research and come back next week and just share what we learned. And I think, I mean, if we keep up all of the good work that we are doing, I mean, we should see some results. That's I believe. Like, I'm talking to a lot of people, and they are is like, well, I'm on my own. Everybody else is here to get something out of me and all of this stuff. This is not the time for that. Like, we are here together on this. Like, I have my mentor is mentioning something to me that with all of this corona and stuff that is happening, what we need to realize is that there are.
I think something.
After all of this crash, we're not going to have middle class anymore, if we think about it, because middle class are the people that actually losing everything that they have.
They
poor people are already poor, and the rich people, because they have the capability to hedge their money, so they hedge it, and they are protected much, much more. Mm-hmm. But the situation that middle class are, I mean, they're going to be wiped out. That's my whole thing. So, and that's why we need to have each other back. If we want to survive this, I mean, we need each other. It's not the time to be selfish anymore. It's the time that we need to come up together. We need to, like, raise together and get our voice heard together. I mean, that's my whole point. And I'm really, really appreciate from everything that Justin and this Extreme Health Academy is doing. Even, like, everything is coming down to, like, what is going to happen next, to be honest. At this point,
with Denise, or no, with Beck before that, apparently Trump was saying that there's some major announcement that he's got over the next 8 weeks, starting this Tuesday.
Okay.
And he said that these are some things that they've already completed. He said that's going on. That's supposed to be, you know, the biggest things ever. And so he mentioned healthcare being one. And he mentioned education being another one. And these are some things that he said are going to be shocking and groundbreaking, and things they've been working on for 25 years that they haven't been able to do. And so I'm just wondering, you know, like, what are these things, and specifically healthcare, you know, that's going to be released starting Tuesday. So
a podcast about virus.
Hopefully it turns out to be good.
I hope so. We need some positive news. Maybe he's getting rid of Fauci. I don't know.
Yeah. So. That would be step number one, right?
Yes.
I hope that is something good to come out of it. That is not another smoke bomb.
Yes.
That you're just creating for us to get distracted.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Denise, I'm glad that the magnesium has been helping you a lot. Like,
yeah. I'll let you know as I go along.
Yeah.
You know.
If you want to tag me in the forums and just, you know, let me know if you know, questions about other magnesiums or whatever else, just let me know.
Okay, I will, definitely. Mm. And I'm thinking now that I heard about Larry, I was thinking about doing the root cause protocol. But I just didn't have time for it. So, and I know it requires a lot of testing, and you have to find some people to do the hair and all that. So I said, this stuff seemed a little easier right now. Sure. But I'm going to be retiring at the beginning of next year, so I'll have some more time to get my act together, find different doctors, because it's very difficult when you're still working to do all this stuff. So.
It'd be interesting to work with this consultant and see how it goes. So I'm anxious to see how it works.
Okay, well, good for you.
On the replay of this video, I'm going to try to, when this goes into the academy, I'm going to try to link to all of our accounts in the forum. So, you know, like Denise, if you have a question for Larry later on in the forum, I'll put a link.
Right.
His profile, and you can connect with him now.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
What magnesium is Denise taking?
It's REMAG. It's called the Magnesium Miracle. Right. Dr. Dean.
Dr. Dean. Yep. I took it for a long time.
Okay.
Good. Yep.
Yes.
I'm doing the mag bicarb.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I'm doing the the magnesium malate and the
Jody, you do everything. It's so,
I know. She's gonna live forever, I think.
I kind of play around with magnesium. I take it in a lot of different forms.
That's so great.
Yeah, that
and
is
I
good.
I notice sometimes I, you know, like if I do need a lot, because I'll get a leg cramp or something.
Ooh.
And I'll go, you know, I didn't get enough. I'll be laying in bed and I'll feel it and I'll go, okay, I kind of know what I need and how much more to take. But
you know what's crazy? There's a doctor that I'm friends with, a medical doctor, and he was telling me, we were at his house and he was telling me about magnesium, and he was talking about the IV and magnesium pushes, you know, and on a magnesium drip for like an hour. And
wow.
Patient that was magnesium, he was so deficient in magnesium that he did like a daily drip for him for an hour a day. And he said after 7 days, his magnesium levels were just back up to baseline. Like
it's, holy cow!
And imagine doing like an hour drip of, I don't know how many cc's are in a bag, but that much magnesium every day, and that just brings you up to baseline. So you can imagine how deficient we all are, you know?
Oh sure, absolutely.
Well, when they say the 2 ounces of the mag bicarb that I, you know, because I got a big gallon in the refrigerator, and I would, you know, I'm way past that.
Nah, really.
Way past the 2 ounces 4 times a day. I probably take 4 ounces 4 times a day.
Wow.
So I know I needed it.
Yeah, it's good. Bicarb is such, in my opinion, it's absorbable way to get it. But there's so many malates and stuff, and citrates, and glycinate. Yeah, so critical. Morley was saying that like cancer is a lack of copper and too much iron. That's just what cancer is. Like, and you know, a lot of these people say things, and I've heard people say that cancer is also caused by negative EMF and blue light, you know, and so it could be all those things, but it's interesting to ask a medical doctor, hey, what caused it? I don't know.
I have no idea.
No, I don't know much other than what they're taught in books. So,
yeah. So I'm glad you're taking your health. That's awesome.
And how much pre-mag are you taking? Are you following the directions on that?
Yes, I'm only doing this for a week and a half. So, right. So I already feel the results of it. So I'm still. I think I'm just right up to a teaspoon a day.
And do you do it in salt water?
Yes. Yep, I'm following the instructions. I think you have to go up to 4 teaspoons a day and then have to back off. I guess if you feel some issues, if you get diarrhea or something, then you know you've taken too much. So I'm not at that level yet. So,
yeah.
Well, you're on the right path, you know, so that's the most important thing. And I'm glad you got rid of that parasite. That's just like phenomenal.
Yeah, but I have 3 scars in my lung from it and a growth. So what happens is bacteria settles in those scars on a daily basis, and I have to cough it out. You know, I have mucus. So it's hard for me. Like, I used to be a swimmer. So anything that rattles my lungs, the mucus starts coming out. So when I'm swimming, I can't really swim. Even when I'm jogging or exercising, I have to stop and then cough, get everything out, and then I can resume. So it's not as bad as it used to be. So I'm working on that as well. I am destined to get rid of, you know, it's all in my right lung. I'm destined to get rid of that as well. So I feel once I come, you know, and get cure all of this, then my skin and my eyes, everything else is, like I said, is going to go away. I just need to clean all of this out of my system. So I'm allergic to shampoo. I'm allergic to everything.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's bad.
Right. Like nebulizing silver or magnesium.
I was afraid to nebulize silver. I was taking silver for a while, and then I started reading some negative things about it. Somebody told me about the man that turned blue. I read that. I got spooked about it. But then I said, maybe, you know, it's not so bad. So I said, let me, you know, I want to try this first, see what happens. I was doing the silver. I actually dumped it all out once somebody put a scare in me about it, and so I never went back to it, but
probably a good thing.
Well, there's a lot of things that I did an entire radio show just on different protocols people can do for their lungs. And one of them was the nebulized certain supplements.
Okay.
You can nebulize. There's all kinds of things to nebulize. So if you want any suggestions for, you know, lung health, I can definitely help you with that.
Yeah, that's going to be, I think, next. Let me do the magnesium.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not as coughing. Since I started magnesium, I'm actually not as coughing as much as I used to. I mean, I used to have problems having a conversation.
Wow.
Or even laughing. You know, laughing would actually gyrate my body, and then, you know, I would start coughing. So it's a week and a half on this magnesium. I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but it's starting to, maybe because the other parts of my body are getting better. Maybe that's starting, maybe my immune system is starting to get stronger. I don't know. So I want to go through this whole thing first, and then I'll start concentrating on my lung issue and then my skin.
Well, just remember, 3,752 of our 9,000 enzymes run and require magnesium. That's 42% of our entire metabolism.
Yeah.
So you're doing awesome. Just magnesium alone is just amazing. So that's cool. Yeah, I've yet to try. We had what is her name again?
Dean.
Dr.
Dean.
We had her on the show, but I've never tried her magnesium supplement. I've just done the bicarbonate. I've just done the, you know, other magnesiums, but I never tried that one, so I probably should.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one, supposedly, it gets more into the cell than the other magnesium, so that's why I went with this first. So I said, let me try this, and let me see what happens.
Is it a concentrate like you?
Yes, it's liquid.
So how long would a bottle last if you took recommended doses, you think?
You know what? I really don't know. It says 16.2 ounces. And because you have to start off with an eighth of a teaspoon or a quarter of a teaspoon, I really don't know how long it lasts. It all depends on your body. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can go up to 4 teaspoons a day, I don't know. It'll probably last you less than if somebody had to just take 1 teaspoon a day.
Okay.
So it all depends on your body. I can't tell you how long it's going to last. So I've gone down about this much on it, and I've been on it for a week and a half. So I still have a pretty good bottle left here.
Okay, cool.
Do you think you could use that in a nebulizer, Justin?
I don't know, because I haven't looked at that particular product, but you can nebulize magnesium, and you can nebulize. There's people that have, like, really, really specific protocols, even nebulizing like a drop of diluted hydrogen peroxide or DMSO.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to be very careful with that stuff, but you can make concoctions that people like. I've heard of people, there's a certain doctor, it's been on our show, Thomas Levy, who had like a lung infection, and I think he had had it since he was a young guy, like 8 or 9 years old. He's never been able to get rid of it. And he's coming out with all of these concoctions to nebulize to heal specific parts of your lung.
Do you think he's got those like on his website where he's got nebulizer recipes?
I believe he does. I can find them and I can post them in the forum.
If you can, that would be great, because my mother has a really bad lung problem for 17 years now and she cannot get rid of it. She caught it. They think she caught it when she used to commute on the subway in New York. And now it's they call it bronchiectasis. They even call mine bronchiectasis because they don't have a name for it. But she's bad. I mean, she has COPD from it now. And so her lung issue, it's causing AFib, and she has to go have surgery for the AFib now in another month. So she's got a lot of issues going on. And I'm trying to help her, you know, with her problems.
Okay.
So
I'm going to look for that. I know I saved it somewhere on my computer, and I'll look for it. It might not be Thomas Levy. I forget the exact doctor, but I do have the references for that. So I'll share that in the forum, and I'll tag you as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah, definitely. Got to take care of our parents, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So important. Well,
it was a pleasure meeting everybody. I think this was great.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Can you hear me?
What's up?
Hello, Rebecca.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you about your husband's use of bloodroot on his mole.
Oh, yeah.
Now what? I don't. That wasn't me.
That wasn't you.
Oh, yeah. You?
That was you, Jody.
It worked like he couldn't believe.
Well, I use some on one of my moles, and it's looking nasty.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, you didn't put a lot, right?
Well, no, I didn't, but I used it for a couple of days in a row, and it raised a big old white blister, big time. Mm-hmm. And it's all red, and is that the way it's supposed to look?
Yeah, it looked, I mean, it was painful.
Yeah, it hurts.
He was like, I don't want to do this again, but he's so happy it's gone. This is a big mole.
Wow.
Okay, I mean, it was big. It was the size, you know, like of a dime.
Yeah, that's about what size mine is. It looks terrible.
And it was deep because he'd already had it removed once.
Yeah.
And it came back. And so he thought, I'm going to try this because I really want it gone. And, I mean, this thing, it worked. But he would put it on. He followed the directions. You have to then take a day off or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it on again or something like that. And then he couldn't do it again.
Yeah.
And it was like, I can't do it again. But it took time. It got really ugly.
Okay.
And but it did go.
Okay. Good. Good. Ugly's good, Dan. I'm happy.
I'm surprised you're smiling.
I mean, it looks bad. I mean, and it's all red, and it looks like it's infected. But
oh yeah. You know.
But
it looks like it's burning it. Like it's burning around. I was a little worried when I looked at it. I'm like, oh my God, what have we done?
Yeah. I've looked at some stuff on YouTube, and all of those look nasty too. Of course, they were using the black salve, which is even nastier than blood red. And I mean, that black salve is even stronger than
your
blood
skin. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hang in there. You'll get it.
Yeah. There's a guy by the name of Bill Trucks who had a liver cancer or something like that. Was it a liver cancer or some other sort of internal, maybe a lung thing or something? But he applied it to his back, and it literally pulled the tumor through his back. Like, he's got all these pictures on his website. His name is Bill Trucks. You can look him up.
What's the name of this stuff?
It's called Black Salve or... What's the other one? Bloodroot.
Bloodroot.
Bloodroot?
Yeah.
Bloodroot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon Black Salve is one. You can go to herbhealers.com.
Yeah, herbhealers. That's where I get mine, yeah.
Yeah, herbhealers.com. They have both of the bloodroot.
Well, I saw a video on the Black Salve. Actually, it was a plastic surgeon talking. This woman put it on her nose because she had skin cancer, and it ate half of her nose off.
Yeah.
And she had to go to a plastic surgeon to have it. I guess they took skin from her forehead or something, and they had to restructure her nose. So he said to stay away from that stuff, the Black Salve.
I don't know that I would do it on my face, but it does heal over and it looks fine now. But
yeah, all right.
You have to be patient.
It depends on how much you use and all that. And so what people will do is like people will put too much because like Larry said, you just put, and Jody, you put a tiny bit in it.
No, she put it on her whole nose, yeah.
Yeah, so the medical industry will take that example and say, don't do this, you know, but... There are things that are removing skin cancers, and you know, obviously, they don't want you to know that. You know,
that's good to know. All right, good.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you guys, thanks so much for coming on today. Super fun to meet you guys and meet you, Denise. That's awesome.
Great, it was a pleasure.
I'm glad I caught you guys because I forgot it was it was an hour earlier. You used to come on, you know, an hour later.
Yeah. Yeah, and we should all feel blessed that we made it. You know, Larry's got his golf game, and, you know, we...
Yeah, I got rained out, and we did need the rain, so that's a good thing. I got 9 holes in, though. I'm good.
Oh, well, maybe sometime my husband can be on, and he's a golf pro, so...
Oh, that is
cool.
He can give you a few pointers.
Now, I'm sure, a lot of pointers. Yeah. Are you doing a show today, Justin?
No, I'm not because we're in the process of moving our studios. And so
okay.
I haven't got this new studio set up yet. And so I was unable to do this last week. because of that reason. But yeah. I got this working, and so that's like the first step. So hopefully next week we're going to be back on live. So
okay, cool. Okay.
Who's your next guest?
Next guest is, I think, Matt Blackburn. He's he's a really, really nice guy, friend of our shows, super knowledgeable, just a great guy. Super, super.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's into the root cause protocol and all kinds of other things, too. So he's a good guy.
I'll share with you guys one more good resource for the medical freedom stuff is greenmedinfo.com with Sayer G.
Yeah, he is awesome. I love that guy.
They've got a little bit of a community too that is out for medical freedom and plus there's a lot of good information. If you want to know anything about any product or procedure it's an awesome website.
That's awesome. Great. I use that as a resource quite often. Yeah, he's really on it. I love that guy. Green Med Info?
Yeah, greenmedinfo.com.
Got it.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much, Rob and Beck and Jody.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you so much, guys. It was very nice information. Every time that I come to this meeting, I learn something new. So thank you.
Yep. I agree.
All right. Love you guys. Stay strong.
Okay. Take care.
Bye, guys. Yep.
Bye, everybody.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Yep.